We all learned the definition of coach pretty young. He or she is the person who gets a sports team organized, decides who plays in the game, and shouts encouragement. We hope it's encouragement from the sidelines. But for a while now, coaching has meant more than sports. People get coached for lots of things by coaches who, like the athletic kind, want to get the best performance out of the people they work with. Who are the coaches and what do they do? For that, we do turn to Sandra Abel, who is, the principal at Inside Job Coaching in Medford. Sandra, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. It's a pleasure to be here.
So how does one get into the field of coaching? How did you get into this? Tell us a bit about the genesis of your company.
Well, actually, I am a licensed professional counselor, and I worked in an agency with adolescents and families for 8 years, then had a private counseling practice for 20 years. And I realized that the clients I really enjoyed working with, the really fun people, I would see their name on my calendar and go, oh, yay, they're coming in, we'll have a great time, were the ones who we had dealt with their old issues. Counseling is about looking back, healing, that kind of thing. And we had done that. And then I would say, okay, you're moving ahead from those situations. Where do you want to go? And they would say, let's figure that out. And then that was coaching. When you define where you are and then look at where you want to go, just like a sports team, like you said, it's about let's move, let's be successful, let's accomplish things.
Let's go places.
Let's go places. And a lot of my clients, unfortunately, back when I was counseling, they just wanted a nice person to talk to. And they didn't really want to take responsibility for where they were or change it. So I figured coaching is what works for me as well as my clients.
It moves things a step beyond the looking backward.
It's about success. It's about defining and achieving your goals. And so just like with a sports team, it's obviously a sports team wants to win. How do they do that? Well, they create action plans, basically. They have game plans, but it's the same thing that in coaching, we look at where you are, we figure out where you want to be, and then we backtrack and say, okay, what needs to happen between now and then to get you there? And then we talk every couple weeks, and they tell me how they've done on their action plan that week. If they haven't done well, I don't yell at them. I don't make them feel bad.
Not that kind of a coach.
No, it's a process. And it's just about their success. I don't put anybody in a box and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. I don't tell them what to do. It's personal. It's about who are you, what works for you, and what works for one person might not work at all for another person. So we figure out the actions and the steps that work for each individual, and then we move ahead until they accomplish their goals.
I see you've written a book, too, called Feeling Good About You, The Journey of Discovery That Leads to Self-Esteem. So is this partly about dealing with your old stuff, your baggage, or is it mostly about looking ahead?
It's both, absolutely. You're very astute. It's about self-esteem. If you don't feel good about who you are, it's very difficult to accomplish what you want to accomplish. If you have old messages in your head from your parents or your siblings or the culture or whatever saying you can't do things, unconsciously you continue to run those and are sabotaging yourself. And most people aren't even aware that they're doing that. And you say, well, where did that come from? They go, oh, I don't know. It's just what I say myself. Well, somebody told you that somewhere along the line, or you intuited it, and you're still stopping yourself. A lot of people, if you're fortunate, were raised by real positive folks and had a good experience when they were young, and their messages to themselves are really positive. As you can do this, and you never give up, and you go for it, and those kinds of messages. But other people have, unfortunately, messages that say they can't do it, and they're stupid, and they're incompetent. And so learning about your self-esteem and improving your self-esteem will help you improve every area of your life.
That's a lot of remapping, isn't it, though?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's looking back at where you came from and then figuring out what worked and what doesn't work for you now, what you got from then and where you are now and what helps and what hinders you, and then shifting that.
Sandra Abel's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the principal at Inside Job Coaching in Medford. She's a life coach. We'll talk about some of the various areas in which she works. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about life coaching and moving ahead and figuring out strategies to achieve the things you want to achieve in life. Our phone number here on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Or you can contact us by email at jx@jeffnet.org or check us out on Facebook. You can see Sandy smiling back at you out of the screen on our Facebook page as well. You mentioned right off the bat that you don't give answers. The point is that you help the people you deal with, clients, I assume you call them.
Yes, absolutely.
Help them figure out the directions to go, which must be tricky at times because it must be a little obvious to you at times, like, oh, you need to do this, but you're trying to make sure that they get there.
Right. You probably know in your own life, if somebody tells you, Jeffrey, you need to do this, you might or might not do it, depending on who they are and what their status is and if they write your paycheck. But if you come up with a solution on your own, you're much more likely to follow through. And it's your solution. It's not something that worked for somebody else that I think should work for you, too. So what my job, the coach's job, is to ask really good questions.
In a sense, is it a point of getting to where the person embraces something as their own idea?
Exactly.
Because I know I've tried to motivate kids this way. It doesn't always work. It's like, okay, make it seem like it's his idea and he'll do it.
Right. And that's exactly it, because if it's their idea, then they will probably be more inclined to do it. One of my favorite questions is, how is that working for you? Because you ask people, so what is it you want to accomplish and what are you doing to get there? And they'll tell you. And then the question is, well, how does that work for you? Are you successful? It's like, oh, no, well, really not. Well, why do you think that might be? What has worked? What isn't working? How can you shift that? And I just ask. And then I take what they give me and ask more. So we build on what they say.
You came to this from a counseling background, and there's several sets of letters after your name. The MS, okay, Master of Science, LPC, Licensed Professional Counselor. What's the ACC after your name?
Associate Certified Coach, and it's an accreditation with the International Coach Federation. For counselors in Oregon, there is a licensure process, and you cannot call yourself a certified counselor unless you have taken the exam with the state and had worked with a mentor and all those kinds of things. For coaching, anybody out there can call themselves a coach. So if you're looking for a coach, look for somebody who is certified by the International Coach Federation.
Okay, ICF then. And where do people come from for coaching? I mean, because obviously the backgrounds can differ. You did come into this as a professional counselor yourself, licensed.
Right.
But where do some of the other coaches come from? They can pretty much come from any field of work?
Absolutely, because there is no licensure. They don't require any kind of schooling, education, testing, anything. So anybody who does what they do and thinks they'd like to support other people who do it can hang out a shingle and call themselves a coach. So, I mean, you could be a radio coach.
Really?
Yes, there you go. Another career.
I think I have enough already. So, all right. So, and how long has the whole concept of coaching been? I mean, how long have people been around certifying coaches, for example?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I don't know exactly. I think the field of coaching has been 20 to 30 years. At turn of the century, there wasn't the coaching field. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably been since maybe the 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, around there.
All right. It did seem like I began hearing about coaches at that time. Certainly.
Right.
Okay. And then, so they bring all sorts of qualifications to bear. And then is there is there some recognition of the kinds of people who seek out coaches, what their general circumstances are?
Are you looking for the kinds of people who work with a coach?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody. Anybody who is not happy where they are and wants to make some shifts, wants to change things, wants to advance. I'm a business coach as well as a life coach. And so I work with entrepreneurs a lot, small business owners, people who don't understand, like dentists, CPAs. They go to school for a long time to learn to do what they do, but they aren't taught how to run a business. So they want to learn, how do you deal with staff? How do you set up protocol? How do you market? Those kinds of things. Because if you're a CPA, but nobody walks in your door, you don't get to do what you know how to do. So business coaching is around those kinds of business goals.
And I notice you do business coaching, life coaching, and healthcare. I mean, which of those realms is the most prevalent one for you?
Well, the healthcare really is, a colleague and I wrote a book a long time ago called Moving Up to Management, Leadership and Management Skills for Caregivers. Because in lots of healthcare settings, there are lower level CNA kinds of people who are really good at what they do. And so they're promoted to be like a team leader or something. And they do not have any training. The organization doesn't have money to send them to seminars on leadership and that kind of thing because they're not at that level yet. So they're put in a new position. They suddenly have to tell their friend they used to have coffee with that they can't have the vacation day they wanted or something, and it's really difficult. And a lot of people are promoted, and then within 6 months are gone because they can't take it. So the book, Leadership and Management Skills for Caregivers, there's also one for new supervisors, which is not the medical field, is all about how to lead and manage, the difference between leading and managing, and how to deal with your colleagues and empower people. Because the number one job for a leader is to empower their people, let them know they believe in them, and also the other leadership important job is to have the vision of where you're going to go, because you can't lead if you don't know where you're going.
The circumstance you cite, though, where one of equals is elevated above the rest, I think if there isn't a book about it already, there needs to be one about when coworkers become managers.
Exactly.
Because that can really lead to some tough stuff in the workplace.
Right, and we have a chapter on that in Moving Up to Management because, it's difficult. For the caregiver book, we also did a 15-minute DVD, which is great, that shows three scenarios, and one of them is that done wrong and then done correctly. So how to deal with different situations in the workplace.
We're talking to Sandra Abel on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the principal at Inside Job Coaching in Medford. We're talking about life coaching. They also do business coaching. And as you just heard, some healthcare coaching as well are in the healthcare workplace anyway. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your comments, your questions. Maybe you've seen a coach over the years or have done some coaching yourself. We'd love to hear your perspective at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or contact us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So what's the most common circumstance in which somebody will seek you out?
Well, I cited the example for the business coaching.
Business coaching, certainly,
yeah,
but
people
for the life
who,
coaching.
For the life coaching, often it's people, usually women, who are having trouble with their relationships, are getting divorced, their husbands have left and they're not sure how to rebuild their life. People in transition a lot, people who are anticipating retirement or have just been laid off, is huge because that isn't even expected. And they like, where do I go next? What do I do? Who am I without this job label on my head? And so we help figure out, who are they?
There is a lot of identification that comes with a job, and without that, without that job, they just don't seem to function quite as well.
Exactly. Well, unless they can redefine who they are, not what they do. And there's a big difference. And in our society, we don't make that distinction a lot, that you were a wonderful, viable, creative person before you had that job. You were a fabulous child, probably. You were a cool teenager, or maybe not so cool, but you were your own person. And then you got this job, and all of a sudden, you meet somebody at a party, and they say, so who are you? And you say, well, I'm a radio announcer. Well, no, that's not what, not who you are. That's what you do.
Right, but that is the first question we always ask people we meet. What do you do?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, if you ask people, who are you, they don't know how to answer it, and it makes them uncomfortable.
Huh.
So my hope is that everybody can become familiar with the person they are, not just what they do.
Let's take a call. We have David in San Francisco listening online. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sandra Abel from Inside Job Coaching.
Oh, greetings. I was spurred to call by, I learned economics late in life, and I think I was in my late 20s by the time I started really paying attention to it. And I would think that the way that America has been fleeced so many times, you know, I'm in my 50s, and we got fleeced with the savings and loans crooks, and then during Reagan, and then there were the subprime more recently, and now there's this LIBOR scandal. The fleecing just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and the American public doesn't seem to have a clue about how interest rates are set or why they should, study that boring stuff called economics.
No, this is along the lines of what Sandra was talking about with business owners not really knowing how to run a business. Is that where that comes from?
Well, it's that plus, you know, some economists were looking at the value of the entire Earth, and they recently figured out, about a year ago, I think they figured it out, that it's about $24 trillion worth of copper and steel and lumber and water and everything else. And the subprime scandal of 2008 was $71 trillion. So if the Earth is worth $24 trillion, but somebody can rip off, they can churn so much economic growth that they can churn $71 trillion, three times the value of the entire Earth, that means that the Earth, in order to pay off that bad loan, they have to chew up three Earths. And then this LIBOR scandal, which is even bigger, it's 22 times the value of the Earth. It's the London Interbank Offering Rate.
Right.
That's said to be worth $550 trillion, and it's how the interest rates are set for the entire world. So you see the nation of Greece going broke because they got suckered into the LIBOR numbers.
All right.
The economic condition of America or the rest of the world, all of our bond issues, our schools are going broke because we're believing some fake numbers that the LIBOR dreamed up.
All right, David, thanks for the call. Very much appreciate it. Sandy, this might be on the edge of your expertise, but what do you make of what David was just saying?
Well, obviously, David has a lot of important thoughts about the economics of our country and the world. I don't know if he has issues with his business and his own economics, but he could certainly work on those. I think you have to start small. Starting globally is a huge chunk, and it's just like with coaching. You don't look at your goal and say, well, I need to be there. If your goal is, eventually, I would like to own a Learjet, well, you don't try to go buy a Learjet and do Learjet or nothing. First, you go learn to be a pilot. And then you take the steps and maybe get a small plane. And eventually you can reach your goal, but you don't just try to do a Learjet because most people can't afford that.
All right, Sandy, stand by. I want to come back and talk to you just a little bit more after the upcoming break. We have shuffled the hour around a little bit, so we're sticking with our first guest, Sandra Abel, who's the principal at Inside Job Coaching based in Medford. Garrison Keillor will move to the back of the hour because we have fun drive stuff to do as well here. Sandy Abel's talking to us about what life coaching is all about and the kinds of people who come to seek you out. What are the major obstacles that a lot of clients present, the things that are stopping them or at least slowing them down as they reach for better things in life?
Their challenges are varied, as people are varied. It depends on the situation, where they are, what they want to accomplish. A lot of my clients are doing things the way they've always done them. And for some reason, it's not working anymore. But they haven't been able to figure out another way to move ahead and accomplish what they want to accomplish, especially things that used to work but have changed a bit because of technology or because of circumstances, because of the economy, whatever. They are sort of stuck in the old way of we've always done it this way, and that doesn't work as they try to move forward. So we work on that a lot.
That must be a pretty tricky one to deal with, though, because when people are saying, well, this is just how I am, or this has always worked for me, or I've always done it this way. I mean, whatever variation you choose, it's a lot of like, this is me. And then
right.
You have to get in there and say, well, it doesn't have to be.
Exactly. And why is this you? Let's look at that. Let's see where you got that. I was talking with a client the other day who was saying, well, my father taught me this. Okay, and that was a good value in the 50s. That was a great value. A real common one back in those days was women don't work. Women stay home, raise the kids, support the family with all the housework, all the everything. I remember my mother told me when I said, after my sister and I had left, grown up and moved out, I said, well, why don't you go get a job? You know, you've got a college degree. Why don't you do something? And she said, well, that would reflect very negatively on your father. It would make people think he couldn't support us. Well, obviously that doesn't fit anymore. Now you need two incomes plus if you want to survive and be comfortable and safe. So if I stuck with, well, I've always done it that way because my mother did it that way, and she said that's the way it's supposed to be. It would not work, and it wouldn't honor who I am because I want to be a coach, and I want to work with people and empower them. So it's important, but a lot of people don't realize. They say, that's just me. That's what my parents taught me to do. And well, that may have fit for those people at that time. They had no way of knowing who you would be in the 21st century. So a lot of what they taught you is, you know, pay your bills, be kind to people, be respectful. Those kinds of things are good values and you want to keep those. But there are probably other values that they taught you that don't fit anymore. And it's okay to look at those and shift them. But people don't know that. They said, well, my father did that, and my grandfather did that, so I'm going to do that. Well, and where will that get you?
Yeah, that's a tough one, though, because, you know, you want to make sure that you still honor their memories and yet discard the things that just don't work in today's world.
Exactly. And you honor their memory by knowing that they gave you that message with love.
Is there an off-the-shelf coaching program, or is it specifically designed for each client? I mean, is it, you know, you're going to see me twice a week for 8 weeks, or, you know, once a week for 12 weeks or anything like that? Or is it simply as long as it takes?
It's as long as it takes. There's something in me that rejects putting people in boxes, saying, this is the program and this is what you need to do. Although I am creating an online program that has a lot of worksheets that go with the Feeling Good About You book, just because the book gives you a great overview and gets you thinking about where you came from and who you are and why you are who you are. The worksheets will help you delve deeper into that so that you can actually make significant shifts in the way you function. But there, some people do have a coaching program that they just, if somebody calls and wants coaching, they plug them into it. And I don't see how that's effective because we're each individual, we're each unique, and we each learn and grow in our own way.
We have a call on the line. Here is Fred in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sandra Abel from Inside Job Coaching.
Hi, Fred.
Hi. Yes, I find your discussion fascinating. And my question was about the dichotomy between achievement and just inner development as a human being. Our society seems so materialistic and success-oriented, and with the me generation, could you please comment on this seeming dichotomy?
All right. Thanks for that, Fred.
Yes, absolutely. There is a dichotomy. I think that it's up to each individual to pay attention to who you are and honor who you are and be the best you can be, but also be aware of society and don't run over other people in the process. It's a win-win. It's a mutual respect kind of thing. It's not, it's all about me. It's about I respect myself as much as I respect other people. Not more, not less.
Can I take a wild guess that most of the clients you take in are people who've been in the workforce for 15, 20 years and are getting to a bridging point in their lives, thinking about going in a different direction?
A lot of them are.
Mm-hmm. So not generally people who are just out of college, for example.
Although I do work with college students because they're also in a huge transition place. And they're trying to figure out, they have recently been adolescents, which in psychological terms is the time of separation and individuation, which is fancy words that mean you are separating from your family and who they are and who they taught you to be and becoming your own person. So that's a really scary, rocky time for college students. And coaching and working on books like Feeling Good About You will help them, and help anybody, look at where they came from and where they want to go as themselves, who they are.
We had a call a while back from somebody who wants to know how you work out payment for life coaching. I guess they're asking essentially what it costs, and I would tack on to that the idea of when you're working with somebody who's lost a job, for example, and trying to motivate themselves back into the workplace, how you make provisions for that.
Right. Every coach sets their own fees. It's a totally individual thing. What I do is charge $300 a month for 2 or 3 coaching sessions. Coaching's done on the phone, so you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. We just schedule a time, and you call, and we have our hour. And so there's 2 or 3 sessions plus emails, short calls in between for people who are writing resumes, that kind of thing, editing. All of that is included in that fee. And we have an initial complimentary session so we can see how we click and if we can work well together and I can find out who you are and you can find out who I am. With local people, I actually meet you for coffee. So you can see I don't have two heads. But I have clients in New York and Minneapolis, and I obviously can't meet them for coffee, but we have a complimentary session. So we can test it out, see if we have a good relationship. And then if you are really motivated, I will be happy to flex the fee.
Coaching on the phone, is it as effective as in-person communication?
I think it is. Initially, I came from the counselor background where I had an office and people came and sat on the couch and, you know, we had our session. But I think it's just as effective. I've not had anybody complain or say it's not working for them. I had one client who wanted to do Skype, and I'm not high tech enough to do that. So she says she does Skype with her other, she's a time coach. And so she does Skype with her clients, but I couldn't figure it out. And she said, well, we'll try it. I don't know. When we had a session and she said, you know, this works just fine. I don't need to actually see you. And I guess you don't need to see me. So it's about paying attention. And there's no distractions. If we're on the phone, I'm 100% tuned into you because I have to pay attention to listen and get what you're saying.
Is the book available at the website for Inside Job Coaching?
It's available on my website, insidejobscoach.com, and it's also available at amazon.com.
All right. The book is called Feeling Good About You, The Journey of Discovery That Leads to Self-Esteem. I have to admit, I did not read the book. It was handed to me this morning. But we've been talking about life coaching with Sandra Abel, who's the principal at Inside Job Coaching in Medford. Sandy, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's been a pleasure.
Same here.